Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hello, and welcome to 1001 True Stories. My name is Brian Tremblay, your host. Thank you for joining me. This show is where you'll get to meet some of the nicest people on Earth. Most of them just regular, ordinary, everyday folks who experience something worth talking about. That could be anything from a ghost story to a celebrity encounter to maybe a close call that happened or maybe something on a family camping adventure that didn't go right. The theory is here, we think that everyone has a story to tell and we'd like to hear it. Today's guest on 1001 True Stories is Mike Strasbaugh. He is a musician and a teacher, holds 3 master's degrees, is a YouTuber, and a heck of an inspiration. How would you feel if you were given a life-threatening diagnosis in your 20s? Hello, folks, and welcome again to the program. Today, I have a very special guest. We have a little bit in common, and I'll just say that we are musicians, both of us, too. And I'm going to let him introduce himself to you. Go right ahead, sir.
Hello, everybody. My name is Mike Strasbaugh, and I'm a former college music professor with a whole bunch of master's degrees and a heck of a life story to tell.
Awesome. Well, this is what we want to hear about, Mike. So take it away from there.
Okay. So, well, I'll start off by saying I covered a lot of this in my recent TED Talk, which I gave at TEDx Cal State Long Beach. That was in November of 2022. And it's called A Musician, Me, Common Variable Immunodeficiency, and Death, Walk Into a Bar. So everybody knows about death. Yeah, it's a little wordy, which tends to be one of my traits anyway, but common variable immunodeficiency, that's kind of the, well, that's kind of at the core, that the center of my life, if you will. It's a genetic disease. It's not common, although the name would suggest it kind of is. It's a 1 in 50,000 rare genetic disease. And essentially, long story short, to kind of break it down in layman's terms, excuse me, the second you're born, it's like your immune system, it has early onset dementia. So you're born fairly normal, but then over time, it just slowly forgets more and more how to fight everything. So, and it's kind of textbook in that by the time you reach early 20s or so, stuff starts hitting. Stuff starts hitting pretty bad, like out of nowhere. And sure enough, also, just need to explain, because of my respiratory issues, which is kind of a byproduct of this disease, I'm going to be clearing my throat a bit. I've always got my water ready.
Gotcha.
So I'm a musician. I started in my teens, actually. That guitar right there, it saved my life in 1988. But that's a different story.
Sure.
So I started playing in 1988. As soon as I picked it up, man, I never put it down. So I was all in with music in 1988. Metallica and that guitar, that's all I needed. So for the next 8 years, all I did was play music. I knew that's what I wanted to do with my life. So music was my life. And by the time the mid-90s rolls around, I was earning my bachelor's degree in classical guitar. I wanted to be really well-rounded and a diverse musician. So I was a metal guy, but into classical music. I was into jazz. So I finished my undergrad in classical guitar on May 4th of 1996, which was a Saturday. And I remember it so well because exactly 1 week later, on May 11th, 1996, it was my first of 7. I call them my Widowmaker events. Things you're just not supposed to survive.
Okay.
1 week later, I was in the ER, and it was Saturday. I can remember there are specific instances that like are very sharp in my memory, and this is one. I woke up that day. I was really, really yellow, really jaundiced, very weak. And this is, I had been feeling that way over the last couple of weeks. I didn't really think too much about it. I should have. But that's the day I finally went to the ER. And it was about noon or so that I went. Well, over the next 12 hours or so, you know, doctors are doing blood tests and asking questions, really weird questions like, did you go to Africa recently or anything like that? I'm like, no, what's going on? You know, really weird stuff to try to find out what was going on. Wow. And by the end of the day, you know, it's rolling up on about midnight or so. Clearly, you know, I'm a 24-year-old kid. I'm scared to death. My good friend, she's my lady today. Her name is Kim. She was with me the whole time. and finally, about midnight, a very calm ER doctor, he rolls in and he says, finally, Mr. Strasbaugh, your body is displaying symptoms of what we call hemolytic anemia, which is just a big medical term, right?
Right.
And essentially, it just means your body, your spleen, is producing antibodies to your own red blood cells. It's wiping out all of the red blood cells. And it's job to do that when the red blood cells are all used up and they're dead, but it was killing all the living ones too. So you need red blood cells, you know, to do human stuff.
Sure.
And so, yeah. And so, you know, and ER doctors they're trained to remain very calm. That's their job. And boy, he was. But long story short, you know, he's talking about this and you know, stuff's going over my head. Plus, because he's telling me this, like, it's very surreal. It's like, it's like mentally, it's like your brain, it's like you go into the corner of the room and you're watching this happen to somebody else. That's kind of the nature of a surreal experience, right?
Sure.
You're watching it happen. You're not processing it. And that's what's happening to me. And I just said, you know, should I call my parents and tell them I love them? And he's like, you might want to do that.
Oh my.
Yeah. And so I did. So you know, my parents were divorced at this time. So I called them individually, told them what was going on, you know, told them I love them and this is what's happening. And that's it. Clearly I made it. I'm here, but I was this close to a complete blood transfusion. They were just like, they were waiting to see if my CBCs, complete blood count, if they reach a certain point, you know, it's a lower number is not good. And I was like 1 point above complete blood transfusion, but They got me, you know, up to a hospital room, started filling me with prednisone and all kinds of antibiotics and stuff. But after, I don't know, a week or two in the hospital, I don't remember, you know, I slowly get better and they release me and I'm on huge amounts of prednisone for about 6 months. And at the time they just thought it was kind of an anomaly. It was just, we don't know why it happened. Boy, it's lucky that you're alive. Good luck. Keep an eye on it. Take your vitamins, kid. And that's pretty much it. Like they had tested for leukemia and lupus and AIDS and all kind of stuff, but nothing. They had no understanding of why it had happened. Mm-hmm. Right. And this was kind of the beginning of kind of what I described to people as the medical nightmare, because it would get a lot worse physically, certainly, but mentally, the effect that this has on you over a decade where nobody knows what's going on, you start to live in more and more fear all the time because you're like, it's not a question of if anymore. It becomes a question of when. It's like, when is the next big one happening? Like if I get a sniffle, you're like, is this going to turn into pneumonia? It becomes that. Like it's terrifying for sure, but it's the whole situation. It is a medical nightmare and you can't wake up from it because you're trapped inside your body. So that was the first event. That's 24 years old. Well, over the course of the next couple years, nothing happened like that again, but I started to get more respiratory issues, which had always been a thing as a kid, but mine never went away. And as it turns out, that's a kind of a hallmark of this disease, because your respiratory system is where all the stuff comes into your body, obviously. So it gets blasted. But just within a year, well, 2 or 3 years after grads or after undergrad, rather, late 90s, very, very specific things, very specific to me started happening. And by that, I mean, because I was a musician, I started to get chronic tendonitis.
Of course.
Bad. I'm sorry.
Of course. Yes. My wife being a keyboard player just had to have both of her hands operated on in the last 2 years.
I had my left hand and finally in 2004, I feel for it because yeah, you, it's, I mean, it literally, it hobbles you. You can't do the thing that you're here for. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm a musician, music's my life. And so, even with regular people, they get tendonitis, you know, due to overusage. Well, when your immune system is, you know, when you don't have a normal one, everything is exaggerated and exacerbated. So, and the one reason we get tendonitis from doing all this is that when you do these fine, you know, motor skills things, you get micro tears in your muscles and tendons. Well, when they don't heal, you get inflammation and boom, you got tendonitis. So yeah. By the time I'm late 20s, I couldn't play anymore. Like it was done. It was gone. Yeah. So I was still teaching kids still, but I couldn't do it. And also while this is happening in my late 20s, in October of 1998, I remember it. It was a Friday afternoon. It was overcast. I was playing a video game and my left ear started to ring and I was getting ear infections pretty commonly. So I didn't think anything of it,
sure.
But the ringing got worse and worse for about an hour. It just woo, really, really loud.
Wow.
And then that was about 4 o'clock or so, 5 o'clock, it starts to go away. And by 5:30, it's gone. But as it went away, so did my hearing and I was deaf in my left ear. I lost my left ear 100% in an hour on a Friday night.
You have got exactly what the musicians don't want to lose, the use of their hands and the use of their hearing. That's frightening.
That was all happening like 1998, 1999. So it was just boom, boom, boom. And as a musician, like these are specific, man.
Yeah.
Like this, like targeted to me. It's my ear is still gone. It's just, this is just for decoration at this point. You get used to it. You get used to
sure.
it. But, yeah. But at this point, like I was so paranoid every day. Well, this goes on for a while, a couple more years, more and more respiratory infections, but nothing big had hit in a long time. So I wasn't thinking about it. But then in 2004 really is when stuff is kind of like it turned up the badness. 2004 was a rough year. It was a really rough year. That is when I got tendonitis surgery finally, just to be able to use my hand, not even just to play, but just to use it to release the tendon so I could move my hand. But in that year, I got pleurisy. That's inflammation of the lining of the lungs.
Yes.
I've never felt so much pain in my life. When my mom took me to the hospital, like I broke her dashboard and her windshield, didn't crack it, but like I put a crack in it with my fist because I was hitting it because I was in so much pain. That was in May, I think. Maybe it was, I don't remember exactly what, but in August, it was right before my 33rd birthday, it was 2004. This is the next big one. It was viral encephalitis.
We'll return to our conversation with Mike Strasbaugh right after these sponsor messages.
On May 10th, Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes is coming to IMAX and theaters everywhere.
What a wonderful day!
This summer, one movie event will reign.
It is our time.
They stole my village.
I know where they're taking your clan.
Bend for your king.
Never.
Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Only in theaters May 10. Tickets on sale now. Rated PG-13. Some material may be inappropriate for children under 13.
As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search. Match. With Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
And now, back to 1001 True Stories with Brian Tremblay.
It's inflammation of the brain. and your brain, it's inside your skull. The skull does not expand, so it's got nowhere to go. So I do discuss, a lot of this in my TED talk, but I didn't have a half an hour to talk about it. So I get to delve into this one, because this is the, of the stories that I've got, this is the one of the two that's really, really, it's a great story. the other one is sepsis, but that's in 2007. But on this one, I wake up on a Monday. It's a Monday morning. I wake up. I'm living with my mom and my sister in their big house up in Colorado Springs here. And I was in the basement, actually. I had just gotten divorced. I moved out of my rental home, and I was living with my family. I hadn't been diagnosed at this point. I kind of need to preface it with common viral immunodeficiency. Like, I heard about that. The first time I heard this word was in 2007, meaning that's when I got diagnosed. For 12 mm-hmm. years, nobody knew what I had. Doctors didn't know. So I didn't know what I had. I didn't know if I had anything anybody had ever had before. I was alone in the world. Like, nobody understood what I was going through. So I was just, on my own, hoping that this thing, wouldn't kill me. But in 2004, I wake up on a Monday morning in August, and my whole body is just on fire. It's just the only way to describe it. Like, it's not centralized. My whole body is just on fire. It's a good way to put it. Okay. And I'm just laying in my bed. And I remember just laying there, and I yell out for my mom. I'm like, "Mom, help me upstairs. I can't move." So I think my sister too, they come downstairs. They help me upstairs. Like, just my whole body's on fire. I can't move really. Like, they're having to make me move my legs and my arms. It's weird, man. And my mom gets me upstairs. She puts me at the table, and I'm slumped over at the kitchen table, just unable to move or even think. And she's got to go to work. And she, again, a really specific memory. She places some food in front of me. Something she always made, just fried eggs, fried bologna, and some bacon and some toast. And she puts it in front of me, and I'm slumped over the table like this. And it's like, 3 inches away from my face, because I'm slumped over, right? And I'm staring at it. And I remember I'm staring at it, and I'm just aware peripherally of my mom leaving the room, and I'm still looking at it. And then she comes back in. But she came back in is 9 hours later.
Wow.
Yeah. So it's 9:30 in the morning, because that's when she would leave for work. That's the only reason I know it's 9:30. And so I'm looking at this food, and she leaves, and she comes right back in. But right back in was 9 hours later. I hadn't moved. As far as I know, I hadn't blinked. I'm just staring at a plate of food for 9 hours. Yeah. And that's the last. And then I just recall her coming back in. And that was Monday night at about 6:30. And my next memory is Saturday. The whole week goes by. Saturday at about 11 o'clock at night. And the memory is, I'm just laying there. I don't know where I am, but I look up to the right, and there's a TV in the corner of the room, like up in the corner, like it's a hospital. Mm-hmm. And there's a football game on. And I've actually Googled it since then. I want to say it was like Chargers Dolphins 21-17 or something like that. It was a preseason game. Like, it's weird the stuff you remember.
I bet. Yeah.
And I'm looking at it, and then I look to the left, and my dad is there. My dad doesn't live in Colorado. Like, why is my dad here? Where am I? And it was like, 6 days later? So that's when I woke up. That's where my brain my brain had reduced its swelling enough to where my consciousness kind of came back online. So for 6 days, I've just heard a bunch of really cool stories about stuff that I did for 6 days. And it's really weird. Yeah. Wow. Like, okay. So my mom takes me to the ER, right? When she comes home, sees me just slumped over the table. She takes me to the ER. And apparently at one point I just get up and I turn around and I just pee in the corner of the ER. Just
Right, I'm sorry. I shouldn't.
No, dude, this is hilarious. No, these stories are great. Laugh. I think they're great stories because I get to hear them for the first time. And apparently, I'm the star. So there's that. There's I'm confusing my words. Like, I would just be babbling just nonsense. Like, the nurses would come in and I would call them turtles because it sounds the same. So I wasn't able to like actually get the words right, but my brain was trying to do it, and so I would just. Like, so frustrating. Like, I don't remember it or anything, but little stories like that. Going to the bathroom into the bathroom and they're like washing my hands and just turning on the water and putting a finger under the water and just holding it there. Like for 15 minutes until like my sister, she was there and she would call through the bathroom door, "Mikey, are you okay?" And I was just like, "I don't know what I'm doing," or something like that. So all these little stories of weird, bizarre stuff like that. But then finally my conscious mind reboots. But like, and I do talk about this in my TED talk, like, after that, it certainly wasn't easier because nothing made sense. I had to relearn and reestablish like what reality was, how to think again, man. Like I had to learn how to be human, how to learn my brain connected to my body, connected to my voice box. I didn't know what these were. I didn't know what this was, none of it. And so at the age of 33, I was a newborn baby and it took months just to become normal again. But man, there are things that I would remember after this because I was conscious again, but like trying to put in earrings, like after taking a shower and trying to put in an earring. And I remember this one, like stopping after 45 minutes trying to put it in because I would just trying to put in and I'm just doing this. And after a while, I'm like, what am I even like? I didn't even know what I was doing after a while. I'm just doing this here. And at some point, my brain, it's like finally gets the signal to the rest of my body. It's like, you don't even know what you're doing anymore. And just stop. Yeah. So it was weird, man. So that's fire. Go ahead.
Well, you're into music by this time, Mike, or you had been into music?
Oh yeah. So yeah.
So you had to relearn that all over again?
I've actually had to relearn it a couple times.
Really?
I relearned it after that. Yeah, I relearned it after that. But I still couldn't really play. I'm like, I couldn't play, even though I had tendonitis surgery just 3 months before the encephalitis thing happened. Mm-hmm. If I sat down and played, you know, if I tried to play Bach, you know, my hands are dead. Like I can't do it.
Sure.
And if my tendonitis would get triggered, I would have it for 6 months. And I like couldn't move, like steroid shots and everything. So I just didn't even risk it. But I did. I had to reconnect how to do guitar at that point. But even so, I would learn another time finally 3-4 years later when I started grad school. So I've had to relearn from scratch like a couple of times. Yep.
No kidding, eh?
Yeah.
That's great. Now at this point in time, I just sit here in awe of it because my big joke was always, hey, age of 50, after that, everything's fatal, you know? And so I'm sitting there going, how do you handle that when someone says, yeah, you better call them and tell them you like, I don't know if I would just crumple into a ball of a mess. Like, how do you come back from that to keep somewhat sane, I guess?
I honestly, it's not a cop-out answer. I swear I can't answer that because and even my gal Kim, she has put it so eloquently. She's like, you find out, you discover if you're resilient. Like some people have resiliency and some people don't. It is what it is. I didn't crumple, and I look back at that. You know, I was a 52-year-old guy. I look at that 24-year-old kid and the way I handled it, and like I'm proud of myself. I mean, even if I had broken and crumpled, that's not like I would have been ashamed. Like, how can you not? But I didn't. I handled it. I thought, and I remember thinking this too. I'm like, at 24 years old, I'm like, well, at least I got to do the last 8 years, you know, from, you know, 16 to 24, because that's when I started playing guitar. I was like, least I spent the last 8 years of my short life doing what I was here for, music. I'm like, at least I got that. And I finished a degree in music. At least I got to do that before I died. Yeah.
Excellent.
Yeah. So and that was just the first one. And like I said, there's six more after that. Crazy. Where the doctors are like, yeah, good luck, pal. Yeah. And encephalitis was one of them, but yeah.
And yet you come back.
Yeah. Because it's like, after you do it, it's not like I ever look forward to it. And it's not like I know it's going to happen. You don't even, like we tend to Hollywoodize everything. It's like, sure, I'm strong and I'm going to be resilient and I'll overcome. Like it's a Disney movie and then we break out in song or something. And it's not like you don't ever feel, I never felt strong ever. I felt the opposite. Like I felt weak and so vulnerable. So just like just strung up, just like, okay, it's going to do what it's going to do to me. I'm powerless and I'm helpless. And I'm like, if I survive, cool. But like, you don't even think that far ahead. When life is survival mode, for me anyway, I wasn't thinking about tomorrow. I wasn't thinking, how do I survive to do this or this? It's right now. It's this minute. It's this second. You're just like, I'm not even thinking stay alive, stay alive. You're just in it. Mm-hmm. I'm not thinking about staying alive. I'm just doing it. Yeah. And so I don't even know how to answer that.
Yeah. No, I get it. I mean, it's a kind of a lame question, but I mean, at the same token, it's one I struggle with at the same time.
It's not a lame question at all. It's a fair question, because how can you not wonder that?
Yeah, exactly.
Like, yeah. How can you not?
Yeah. Like somebody, maybe somebody who had, technically died and then come back. I mean, I would be asking them all kinds of questions going, okay, what was that like?
if you're curious, of course you're going to wonder. Yeah. So I would wonder too. Yeah.
Yeah. So as far as music goes, you did, I guess, let's put it this way, this 12 years of illness, has it provided you a lot of inspiration for writing? Let's put it that way.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, although I'm actually glad you said it that way. I do write, like, especially during grad school. Like, I wrote a lot during grad school because I got diagnosed, right? And a year later, because I get diagnosed, I find out, and this relates to what you just asked, but sure. I get diagnosed January 2007, and immediately the doctor, he even asked me, is like, this is your second life, this is your brand new life, Mr. Strasbaugh, what are you going to do? And I didn't have an answer for him, but even mentally I'm like, because I asked him, I'm like, well, is my ear going to come back? And he's like, no, that's probably done. I'm like, all right, well, I'm already used to it, no big deal. But, and I was used to 10 years, 12 years of me asking questions and just getting the worst answers constantly. Huh. We don't know what's wrong with you. We know what's not wrong with you. You don't have AIDS. I'm like, well, great. But what do I have? They're like, yeah, dude, I don't know. But sorry, dude, it really sucks. I'm like, yeah, it really does. But you get used to like bad news at the doctor, right?
Yeah.
But I said, okay, well, I didn't expect you to say that my ear would come back. What about my tendonitis? Am I ever going to get to play guitar again? And I'm thinking he's going to say, nope, you're just kind of screwed there. And just you'll, because I hadn't thought about music. Like for me, music was my child. And I literally felt like it had been killed.
Yeah.
I mean, it's morbid, but that's what it felt like to me. And I'm like, I don't want to think about it. It's a nice memory, but I don't want to think about it. Like maybe my child will come back, because I don't. Right.
Yeah.
But the doctor says, he's like, well, you know, you got the surgery. You're with your treatments every month, the micro tears, like they'll heal. So you should be able to do this again. And it just,
ta-da.
It was another surreal moment. I'm like, wait a minute, are you saying I can learn how to play guitar again? It's like, yeah, why not? So it's one of my favorite memories of all time. It's like, no, your kid didn't die. We found them and they're coming back home. That's what it felt like. It's
awesome.
Dude, it feels like that every day still. I'm getting kind of emotional about it.
So what was the last, how long ago was it that a doctor delivered the, I don't know, I hope you've lived a good life kind of thing. When was the last time a doctor did that to you?
It was about a month after I got diagnosed, because I got diagnosed, but then the doctor's like, well, it's going to take a couple months for insurance to get on board with my medical treatments. It's called IVIG, intravenous immunoglobulin. I get it every 4 weeks. I live 4 weeks at a time. It's true. Life comes in a box. Yep.
Wow.
Without it, I know what happens. It's not pretty, because my treatment has been delayed one time and I paid the price for it. That's where my lung disease came from.
Right.
But it comes in a box, but I was going to have to wait for insurance. I went on a business trip after I got diagnosed and I got an infection in my throat. It got to my lymph nodes, and I won't go into the story here, but this was the worst one. It was sepsis. The infection gets into your bloodstream. Sepsis will kill you. Sepsis will kill you quick. Yeah. And that's if you have an immune system. By this point in 2007, I had nothing. So I don't know how I lived that one. It was 3 days in intensive care. in St. Louis. My feet elevated above my head, so the blood would pull into my organs, because I was on the brink of organ failure for 3 days.
Jeez.
Yeah, so that one sucked. That one sucked pretty bad. That was weird. So that was the last time. But because I got sick like that, insurance was like, okay, this guy needs these treatments right away. So I somehow made it out of the hospital, and I started my treatments the month after that. And so that's the last time I got that kind of news.
Yeah.
But then, you know, for a year, I just live pain free. But I knew, I was like, I don't know how I'm going to do it, but I'm going to get music back. I started to noodle a little bit just with my guitars. And I was living in Missouri at the time, happened to be 45 minutes away from the University of Missouri. They have a master's program in music. And I thought, I'm just going to go get, not with any career goals in mind, but just for me, I wanted to get music back. I wanted to learn every single thing, not just about guitar, but everything I could learn about music, capital M, give it to me. I don't care what it is. I want to know every single thing I can about it. So for the next 5 years, I went to school full time, and I earned 3 master's degrees, music composition. So I relearned not just how to play guitar, but, you know, studying Beethoven, Mozart, Bach, all the great European music. I've written symphonies, string quartets, chamber music, all kinds of great music that I was proud of writing. So when you ask about writing music, I was just excited to be able to do it, just to relearn how to do it. And after 12 years to be doing, it was like being, and I kind of referenced this in my TED talk, it was like being Charlie at the Chocolate Factory. It's this dream come true. So for 5 years, I get to do that. And I got a master's degree in jazz. So I got to learn how to play jazz and write big band tunes. And I got a master's degree in classical guitar. That's how I learned how to play again. So the whole time I'm doing all these, all writing all the music and studying all the music and taking every music class I could, I was just a kid in a candy factory. That's what I felt like the whole time. So when I was writing my symphonic piece, like I listen to it now. I'm looking at the score on the wall right here.
Oh, okay, cool.
I don't think when I was doing it, I was thinking about it, but now I listen to it and I'm like, this sounds like my life. Like it just sounds like my endeavors with like my trials and tribulations with common variable immunodeficiency. It's what it sounds like to me now. So it was very inspiring the whole time to write music, because I shouldn't be alive to do it. I hear that in my stuff, because obviously I was there. Other people might not, but it's there. So when I write music, it's always there. But most of the time I'm not writing. Most of the time these days, when I'm doing music, it's purely for me. Writing music is, I love to do it and I love to record it and everything, but really what is that? It's a product for other people to hear, and that's great. I'm proud of it and I want people to hear it. But for me, at the end of the day, what brings me the most peace and joy and comfort and my meditative state and my gratitude for life and everything, it's to close the blinds and just pick up a guitar. The world goes away. I don't get on social media and say, look at me. I'm just like, it's me, guitar, and I disappear. That's my happiest place. That's so it's just me improvising or reading Bach or playing whatever. That's my happy space.
There's got to be a book in the works, Mayor. Is there, Mike, or what?
Yeah, there is. There is, but it's funny. Thanks for asking. No, but like, I'm not sure. I'm kind of sure not how to structure it, because I feel like there should be a lesson in it, because I need to promote my business, Strasbourg Guitar and Music Academy. But it's also just like, do I tell my story? Do I talk about music and life and how they connect? It's like, do I have a focus on it? But yes, there is. There's a book. There has to be. Like, I hear my story and I'm like, even objectively, I think that's pretty interesting. That's a pretty interesting story. It just happened to happen to me. So yeah, there's a book in it for sure.
No kidding, eh? Well, I got to tell you, Mike, that is, next time I'm feeling a little pity on myself, I'm going to picture this again and listening to you and go, okay, get your head straight here, because you got nothing to worry about.
Well, I appreciate that. I hope people do hear that. Not, again, if it's me or anybody, because I think about me and I think of, well, I didn't go through the Holocaust. I look at that, or I think of war veterans who've had, you know, amputees, yeah. And I think, wow, yes, my story is unique to me and I wouldn't wish it on anybody, but I'm still here. And yeah. I might think about it, but I don't live in constant pain. Well, I have a bad back because I'm 50, but I don't have like, Like, I think of so many worse things, and I'm like, God, we've all, so many different ways we've all gone through it. So to kind of go back to you, like, when you feel self-pity, you're allowed to be human. Like, if you have a bad day, you know, stuff is just weighing you down. It's like, you can't just be like, well, at least I'm not this guy or this guy, because it also minimizes the fact that, like, pain is pain. Like, it's like,
I get it. Yeah.
Not to minimize, like, what you're going through or anybody else.
Well said.
Else.
Well said. Yeah. Well said. Yeah. Well, all right, Mike, take these last couple minutes and tell folks where they can find out more about you and the Strasbourg Music Academy and maybe all the rest of their story if they want to follow up on you.
Okay, so first and foremost, if type my last name, it's Strasbourg, Strasbourg.
Okay, yeah.
Strasbourg. Yep, everybody says Berg. It's fine. The umlauts, I don't know if you can see them.
The umlauts don't do anything.
The umlauts don't do anything, but they're just cool. So I just put them on. No, if you just type in this last name, that's all you'll need to do. On YouTube, you can find my TED Talk. By all means, go watch it. It's great.
Yeah, definitely.
I'm biased, but it's cool. right now, my website's under construction. It's construction. But just look up Strasbourg and guitar. You'll find me. I'm on all the socials, Strasbourg Official. I've got like instructional stuff, but I've also just got fun videos. I think my videos are a little different just because I do come from a space of... well, what it's like to lose everything and come back. So when I'm teaching, when I'm playing, when I'm doing anything, it is from a different place. Like the word gratitude, it is thrown around a lot, but
sure.
Not to minimize anybody's gratitude, obviously, but like I do have it. Like anytime I can even just touch a guitar, like the joy, the comfort that I feel, the impossibility of being alive, it all kind of comes flooding back. So check me out on any of the social medias. Type Strasbourg guitar, you'll find my website, and there you go. I do have my academy. I've been teaching one-on-one for almost 30 years, but I want to do my thing online with larger masterclass environments. So, nice. Yeah.
Outstanding. All righty, folks. Mike Strasbourg, outstanding story. I appreciate you coming on the program.
And I appreciate you asking me. Thank you. It's been a great time. Appreciate you.
Thanks for joining us for 1001 True Stories with me, Brian Tremblay. And if you think you have a story to share or know someone who does, email me at brian@morinstreetmedia.com. That's brian@morinstreetmedia.com. The link is in the show notes. We enjoy reviews as well as you sharing our show with others. There will be new stories and more interesting people every Saturday at noon, Eastern Time. So until next Saturday, this is 1001 True Stories, and I'm Brian Tremblay. Everyone's got a story. What's yours?